The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For indeed, he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will then not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Do to others as you would have them do to you. The Christian mindset. The Christian mindset. There's a lot that we can unpack from this reading the gospel today, and in fact the readings. So let's start this way. Let's pray to our Father. Let's start from there, together. Our Father, please stop. Hold it there. Hold it there. Say that again. The last thing you said, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Do we mean it? Hello? Do we understand what we are saying? We mean the Our Father, right? Our Father who art in heaven. We mean that. Hallowed be your name. Great. Your kingdom come. Wonderful. But are we merely reciting this prayer, or does it occur to us what we are asking for? This is the commonest prayer that we say, which is the Lord's Prayer, actually. It's the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, when you pray, pray like this. And he's telling us today, do to others what you would like them do to you. Forgive those who curse you, those who persecute you. If you love those who love you, are you doing anything extra? He says, even sinners do the same. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Do not judge, so you will not be judged. Do not condemn, so you will not be condemned. The measure you give will be the measure given back to you. Come on. How will our world be if we can try this, if we can live this out? I mean, think about it. In our world today, as crazy as it is, from your family, think about it. Think about it from your immediate family. What is it like to forgive? What is it like to let go? What is it like to just give up for the sake of our faith? The Christian standard, the Christian mandate is high. It's really high. The problem is that we want to lower the bar. That's the concern we have with our faith. We want to lower the bar. The world wants us to go flat with the world. But think about the second reading of today. St. Paul says, but the spiritual was not first. Rather, the natural and then the spiritual, right? The natural was first, talking about Adam. And then Adam to the second man, that is Christ. So what Christ came to do was to elevate the standard, raise that standard, which in the Old Testament said, a tooth for tooth, an eye for an eye. That is the old standard. But this is where it started. And that is what holiness, righteousness means. Holiness elevates. Grace elevates. It doesn't lower. That is not what it does. So St. Paul says, the first man was from the earth, earthly, but the second man from heaven. And as was the earthly one, so also are earthly. This is not, I mean, like skyrocket theology, right? It's something that is relatable. So the earthly think in earthly terms. The heavenly think in heavenly terms. And that is where the standard for us becomes higher. When I was a teenager, we did something crazy. I'm sure when you were teenagers, you all did crazy things, right? No? Hello? As a teenager, my two older sisters were so protective of me. I mean, overprotective. And we were playing soccer on one of those afternoons, and one of our friends, like our peer group, but within the age of my second sister. So she came and picked the ball, and this was my ball, my soccer ball. So she picked the ball and ran away. Come on, we were so infuriated. We were so mad at her. And we waited for her. She didn't return that ball. That day passed. You know what happened? My sisters and I decided to take a revenge. So we decided to lay ambush against her. And we whipped her. Like, we waited for her and she was passing. We laid ambush against her and gave her the smacking of her life. Believe me, to this date, this has not been deleted from my heart. Last week, same lady, we made up, actually, we made up after. But she called me last week to notify me that she lost her dad. My sisters and I, we've talked about this. But as soon as I saw her call, this was the very first thing that came up my mind. I mean, over 20 years, this was like when I was about 12, 13. But think about it. This is what I remember her for to this day. And that is what happens in our lives. That is what happens. How many people in your life are you unable to forgive? And how does that make you feel? There are people we cannot even call, we cannot talk to, and we haven't talked to them for ages, right? There are people we don't want to talk to while in this world for certain things that they did to us. Hatred is like a cage. Lack of forgiveness is like a cage. What happens is that we fail to move forward spiritually when we are unable to forgive. And Christ says, pray for those who persecute you. The prayer aspect is important in order to move forward with regard to forgiveness, with regard to letting go. Think about it. Can you just pray and say, Lord, set me free from this? I read a story about this woman some time ago who was the boss in an office. She had a business and hired a bookkeeper. The bookkeeper cornered her money and committed all sorts of fraud within the business setting. But this woman, because she was ignorant of bookkeeping and accounting, she didn't know what was happening until she was audited. And by the time she got audited, they closed her business, froze her accounts. And by then, this guy had moved on and enriched himself. So this woman said she kept on planning a revenge until one day she got into a shopping, maybe Walmart or whatever, right? And then saw this guy at the parking lot. And this man had a new Mercedes Benz. And she, by then, had gone through depression and a lot and was managing an old car. She said the very first thing that struck her and occurred to her was run into that man, smash that car, destroy that car. Ordinarily, this is the human feeling. And that is normal, that is natural. She said this kept happening to her and that voice kept coming. She managed to hold herself. And then this man came out of the car and walked into the shopping mall. And then she came out and that man still said, pursue her, keep pursue him. And she was about to begin this chase. At a point, another voice said, let him go and be free. She said, at that moment, I let him go and I got myself back. So lack of forgiveness makes you a prisoner to the one you are chasing. That's what happens in life. A prisoner to the one you are chasing. You become, he or she controls you, takes over your life. And if you look at it psychologically, it causes anxiety, it causes depression, it causes stress, it causes heartache, it causes anything you can talk about. So you have insomnia, you can't even sleep well when you remember that there is someone who is out there and you need to take a revenge on. What happens? Imagine if you were David this morning in the first reading. Imagine if you were David and God has delivered him or her in your hand. The Abishai in us will say, smack him, right? Smash him. That is the first thing. God has given this man to you. And he doesn't even ask David to do it. He said, let me do it myself. So he's volunteering to take care of that threat. And David said, what is your business if the Lord wants to punish? In fact, David did this again somewhere. You remember when his son Absalom was chasing him. And this man came out cursing him and throwing stones. His name is Shimei. And by the time Shimei was crossing, the same Abishai, one of David's soldiers, said, "Let me just go and deal with him." David said, "What is your business? If my own son, Absalom, could chase me and pursue me, how about this stranger? Maybe the Lord has decided to punish me that way. Let him curse. The Lord will take care of him." I'm very sure that Abishai was disappointed to hear David say, don't smash him for me. That is not your business. And by the way, he is the Lord's anointed. That's another thing. How we treat the Lord's anointed. It's not about the person. It's about the office. And that is a great lesson also for the way David responded to Saul. Saul had abused the office, however, in the sense of human possession, human desire, and what Saul is. At that point, he had lost it. But David thought about the office. The Lord's anointed is David's concern. But here, the bigger narrative is the issue of forgiveness, the issue of judging, the issue of not condemning, the issue of letting go, the issue of detaching, the issue of following the higher Christian standard. Our world today is in trouble because so quick to judge. So quick to judge. All of us, we are judges. We are all judges. But it's not about how we are, because if the Lord judges us as we are, we have all messed up. We have all been bad. If the Lord judged me by the time I smacked that young lady 20 years ago or over 20 years ago, I would not have been here, right? So, how do you judge? What is holding you? What is letting you not have proper rest of mind? Do to others as you would want them do to you. If David was in Saul's position, David would have expected to be spared. That is the thing. David recognizes that he is a sinner, and if you go through the Psalms, David makes it very eloquent. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I have sinned. Have pity on me, Lord. First of all, we have all sinned, and St. Paul says, fallen short of God's glory. If we have fallen short of God's glory, we demand the mercy of God. And if the mercy of God is what we expect, then the Christian standard becomes, what do we give back? Mercy, forgiveness, love, compassion, or quick to condemn? This is a challenge to us today. It is not a simple thing, let me tell you. It's so unreasonable to think about that person and how much hurt he or she has done you. And here, Father Vin is like, what are you talking about? I mean, that's what your heart is saying, right? What are you talking about? What is he talking about? Christ says to those who could hear him. That's what that gospel says. It says, let me just get the exact here. To you who hear, I say to you, Christ at that moment knew that not everyone would hear, not everyone would understand, not everyone would accept. But to you who hear are those who follow Christ, those who give something, those who stretch themselves, those who understand that the Christian demand is different from the world demand. Why? Because we are children of God who forgives both the sinners and who takes care of the righteous. That's the Christian demand. Just pray about it. Pray about it. When it is not easy, pray about it. Keep praying about it and ask God to soften your heart and to free you. Because when you fail to forgive, you become the prisoner of the person who is holding you rampage. May the Lord help us. Amen.
Amen.